Offensive only to lazy men, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The porta potty of Medicare podcasts. He attended 3 Beatles concerts full of screaming girls and never heard a note. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, thank you, Drew McMillan. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the fact that you pronounced the name Jones accurately. So many people mess that up. But here we are at Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I am Doug Jones, as Drew so succinctly said. I'm your Medicare expert for, a short period of time, maybe today, maybe the rest of the year. That's sneaking up on us, too. And it is a pleasure to welcome you to our episode of Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. We are here to help lazy men and lazy ladies figure out what they want to do about Medicare so that the onus and the fear and the angst are removed and it becomes a happy, pleasant experience. And everything goes smoothly and people go skipping down the path of Medicare bliss after an encounter with us. And never have to look back and see the past again, that horrible dark path that they used to labor in ignorance of Medicare in. So I don't know. I'm just hopeful that we're doing some good for some people. That's our goal here, to help people fear Medicare less and understand it just a little bit more. And when I say we, I'm generally speaking about me and Randy Carson, my excellent broadcast engineer and fellow bon vivant. Randy, speak to us.
Mr. J, how are you this morning at this bright and sunny day?
Well, I've had better mornings, I got to tell you.
What the heck happened?
It's really nothing that would be of interest to anybody that hasn't changed insurance plans before, but I've been in this Medicare thing for a long time, and I've got a whole bunch of clients. But one of the clients that I was really rooting for was my dentist.
And was it your dentist or no?
Yeah, it was my dentist, and he needs to be sold on something. I think I had the right combination of benefits and cost, and so I told him. When I heard that he was going to be leaving his practice, I said, look, when you need Medicare, take my book, which is Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. I said, take this book and use it for a doorstop. Well, it's not really big enough for a doorstop, but use it, put it under your pillow and maybe you'll absorb some of the knowledge there. But the real thing is that he has a dental practice, had a dental practice, and he was about ready to sell it. And his wife, who is a beautiful stewardess, can we still say that in 2020? She was
we can't say that. It's a flight attendant, and we can't smoke either, so there you go.
I'm glad you stopped me, but thank God they're still serving drinks on planes, or are they not anymore?
No, I don't think you can get a drink on a plane anymore.
You can't get a drink. You got to sit there. They tie you in your seat.
How do you get, you can't have a drink because you can't get it through the frickin' mask.
Exactly. Even if there was a straw that would penetrate the mask, like the germs all do, they're not going to let you enjoy a drink. So frankly, flying has become jail. And I'll bet my dentist's wife, Mrs. Dentist, is very glad that she retired. But she retired from the airline that she was with a couple of months ago. And there was the employee coverage, and my dentist was the dependent on the employee coverage. And so I said, look, here's a great company for your Medicare supplement. All you have to do is sign up for Medicare Parts A and B. Okay, that's done. Here's a Medicare supplement for you. Here's what the cost is. Here's what it covers, just like all the other Medicare supplements, except this one costs less money. And then I said, oh, you're going to need a drug plan. Why would you need a drug plan? Healthy people like you. Well, because if you don't get a drug plan when you're first eligible, you will be penalized for the rest of your life, starting with the day that you eventually decide to get a drug plan. So you may not take any drugs to speak of now, but your drug plan is basically a method of staving off a fairly stiff penalty down the road when you eventually decided to get a drug plan. They said, okay, give us the cheapest drug plan you can find us. So I did that. And they, you know, basically are not big druggies yet. They're both very healthy and everything. But so today, this morning, they went to the drugstore that I recommended and presented their ID cards to the clerk. And what happened? The clerk said, well, I run these through our computer and they show that you're still covered by your employer's plan. So then we tap into the Medicare mainframe or something, wherever that might be, and they show that your coverage with your employer plan has not terminated. So this card is worthless. And she flung the cards back at them. And
My God. Was that, now, which airline was it? Was this Stump Jumper Air?
This was a major airline that I used to love to fly. Back.
So it's not Stump
back
Jumper.
Back when I could smoke
it's
and drink
on the
airplane, this was where I wanted to be.
That's the only reason to fly, smoking and drinking.
Yeah. It's got the name of a major world power in its title. And so, frankly,
it's got some red paint on its tail.
Yeah, exactly. And so
that one.
Yeah, and it's not the company's fault. It's probably their HR department, I'm thinking. So anyway, the drug plan that I sold this couple is not essential. I mean, basically, they were frustrated in their ability to use the new drug plan I gave them. So they had to lay out $14 rather than $0 and went home and called me and said, what gives? And of course, I'm sitting there going, oh my God, how do I know what gives? You got the drug company, you got the airline, you got the federal government involved. I don't know where to start with this. So of course, I started with the closest, easiest target. I called the drugstore and I said, are you the one who... disappointed my clients? Why, yes, I am. What are you doing? And I said, you got to fix this. We can't fix it. We don't know how to fix it. You got to find the federal government clerk that's responsible for their being falsely listed as having still worked for the company and then get that fixed. Oh, God. So then what did I do? I called the insurance company. And the insurance company has English speakers on their staff. But it's an accident when you actually find one. Generally speaking, your call winds up overseas somewhere.
the default
stop
languages.
Laughing. This is not funny. Yeah, it's like Urdu or something.
The default language is not English anymore. Is that what you're trying to say, Doug?
It's something that I don't recognize, and all languages must be equally respected. So I would like to respect this language more than I do.
Let me tell you, let me just inject a short thought there. My wife, Mrs. Technologist, won't put up with that on call center. She'll say, I've heard her say it. Hey, I can't understand a word you're saying. Get somebody on here that talks English.
I've said that too, but I always forget to do it until it's after the fact. And I should have done it today. But frankly, I have heard that if you hear the recording and it says, if you habla español, punch cinco, then sometimes you do that. You get a bilingual person and then you tell them, look, I punched the wrong number. Send me to somebody in the United States. And that's like one way to get around it. So it's tricking the system. I don't know. Mrs. Technology probably knows that trick already. But anyway, so I'm talking to a guy, and I wind up talking to another guy who has a slightly better command of the English language. And after about maybe 45 minutes on the phone with a lot of shuffling and things going on, and they're asking me what the date of birth is and blah, 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 what's the social security number, and he came up with a plan. He said, are they with you? Is your client with you now, the couple? Why would they be with me? They've got their own damn house. Why would they be hanging around here?
They're right out in my kitchens drinking coffee right now. Let me go get them.
Jesus Christ. So
holy bananas. The IQ of the of some systems in this world is dropping as we speak.
Well, this guy was he was like headed for a big fall, you know, off a cliff or something IQ wise. But anyway, so he finally said, "Okay, here's my plan." Now I'm English anglicizing the language, but basically his plan was to get to do a conference call between my client and the federal government.
Oh, for God's sake. So you can't even get one of them on the phone, let alone a conference call.
And I said, look, my goal in life is to inconvenience my client to the least extent possible.
Really. Yeah, hang on to this while we talk. Hang on to the phone for about 12 hours while we get this guy back
That's
on the phone.
That's what it sounded like to me. Oh, I said, I can't put my client through that. This is incredibly stupid. And he said, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to call your client. And I said, I'm going to call my client first and warn them that you're calling and that they shouldn't put up with any crap.
That you're calling.
And I want them to know that this is like an experiment and they can decide early in the call to terminate if they don't think it's going well. And I said, so that's what I'm going to do. When are you going to call these people back? Oh, soon. We'll have it done today. We'll have it finished today. And I said, okay. And he starts giving me this number. He said, here's the number for the call. And I wrote this number down. I felt like, oh, yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll follow directions. I wrote this number down. It's like 12 digits. And I said, now, what am I supposed to do with this number? He said, well, give that to your client. And I said, why would my client want this 12-digit number?
Oh, no. No,
well, so they can give it to us and all the notes will be there. And then I realized he wasn't going to be the one making the call to my client. It was going to be some other person. I know. And I said, don't you dare. I said, I'm not giving this number to my client. You call them. You explain why you're calling and you get it fixed. Oh, well, is that what you had in mind? Okay, yeah, sure. So his whole attitude changes. Well, yeah. Okay, forget the number. He said, that number was like everything in his life a few minutes before. He says, okay, forget the number. We'll go with me calling your client. And I said, okay, it's like a multisyllabic name. Can you pronounce it back to me now? I don't want you to insult them by mispronouncing the name. And so, it's like Buttercup, you know, it's that kind of thing. It's not difficult, but I didn't think this guy could master it without a little bit of practice. So I then called and I got the wife on the phone, who is a wonderful woman, but she's a problem solver. She's used to dealing with unruly passengers and, you know, complaints and things like that. She's got a whole plane load of people she has to ride herd on. And she had a lot of seniority. So frankly, you know, she was large and in charge. Now she's being victimized by Medicare and the insurance companies that are part of that whole picture. She's helpless, she's frustrated, and she's angry about it. And I don't want an angry, unhappy, frustrated client. So what do I do? I said, look, here's what we're going to do. This is an experiment. We'll see if it works. It'll be an education for me. So if you take this call, and if they fail to fix your problem within a very short period of time, hang up the phone, call and report to me, and then we'll find a plan B. And she said, do you have a plan B? And I said, I don't know. Don't ask me that. I said, we'll find a plan B. I don't care what it takes, but we'll get it done because my goal in life is for you to be happy and not disturbed by your insurance coverage. It should be invisible in the background, waiting to protect you when you need protection. And she said, okay, so what am I doing? You and I are recording our podcast, and all I can do is think that woman's going to be outside my house with a gun, and she's going to come after me big time when that phone call is over with Mr.
That's right. You know, you're gonna hear that driveway bell of yours going off like this, like the theme of Deliverance. She's going to be coming down your driveway.
Did you see me blinking? Because it's already happened a couple of times. I don't know if the mailman showed up or something else, but I swear I went into spasms there a couple of times because I can hear the driveway alarm whenever somebody drives in, and I hope it's not her.
You know, the next question you need to ask, you know, her, the Stump Hopper Airlines past employee is, does she have a concealed carry permit?
I think maybe I'll ask her husband. I'll probably get a straighter answer from him. The only good thing is that since he sold his practice, when I go there now, somebody unrelated to this wonderful couple is actually the one, you know, doing things to me with sharp instruments and poking around and everything.
Yes.
Because I'm pretty sure he would get his pound of flesh out of me after I was sitting in his chair the next time. So,
one way or the other.
At least he can't take it out on me. But anyway, so the important point to remember here is I am with this plan. My wife is with this plan. All of my clients, pretty much all of them, because last year, about a year ago, it was discovered that the big company that I had most of my clients with for a prescription drug plan was preparing to screw and rip off everybody in their plan, in their least expensive plan, starting January 1st. Everybody, if they didn't make a move, was going to be transitioned to a plan that cost 2 to 3 times as much. And that was their plan to increase revenue. And I said to myself, self, it's time for you to go into action, kind of like Superman. You will now have to save all of your clients from being victimized by this company. So that's what I did. And it took me a couple of months to do it, but I got everybody signed up with this new company. This used to be an Aetna plan, and it's now transitioned to a different parent company. But it's been working like clockwork for me, for my wife, and for all of my other clients, and everybody I've signed up with this plan until this morning. And this morning is like, you know, poop hit the fan, like a big heavy piano dropped out of the second floor window and fell on my head. So I'm hoping this isn't indicative of future problems to come. But the important thing to remember is, no matter what kind of experience people have with an insurance company, mistakes can happen. Your insurance agent is the person who is supposed to fix the mistake. Don't let your insurance agent off the hook, because God knows my clients don't let me off the hook. If something goes wrong, they expect me to fix it. So for these people, I am quite willing to do whatever is necessary. But the insurance agent also doesn't always know how to fix it, doesn't know what went wrong, unless they've been down this road before. My clients have all had their coverage work like clockwork. This is the first experience I've ever had with this problem. So it's going to be a learning experience for me. Now, the next person that has a problem like this, I'm going to be able to help more effectively, because I will have been down the road. I will have had the experience of having my dentist and his wife solve this problem. Whatever solution we have, I'm going to remember it, and I'm going to help the next person that has this kind of a problem. But it's indicative of the fact that even when things go perfectly, something is bound to screw up at one time or another. So what we're doing now is chewing our fingernails, hoping that that conference call is happening or has happened. Maybe it's happened and they've got the problem solved. I don't know. But at some point this afternoon, I'll be talking to my clients, and I don't know whether they're going to be unhappy or happy. My fervent wish is that they're going to be happy. They're going to be able to report back that the call was not intrusive, was not time-consuming, was not inconvenient for them, and that they're confident the problem is on the way to being solved. And by that time, I'm going to be half in the bag, because I plan on starting cocktail hour a little early today, just in case that's not the message I get.
There you go. Well, you can start the cocktail hour based on the time right now in Dublin, which is 8 hours ahead. So
already?
it's actually 6 o'clock already. Feel, you know, almost seven. Feel free.
Okay. I like that. I like the way those Irish get a jump on everybody else. So
that's right. But I was going to say, this is going to sound particularly apropos because Mrs. Customer of yours used to work for the airlines. We need to bring this flight in for a landing. We are out of time.
Oh, boy.
But I want to point something out. The moral to this story is that Doug has your back, regardless. He's going to fight the battle, whatever battle that needs to be. And you're not going to find a guy like him just standing on every street corner. So just take that to heart.
Well, that's very kind of you, Randy. It's just frustrating not to know how to solve a problem. Most of the questions people ask me, I can recite the answer from experience. I can say, here's my observation from prior experience. But this is a new one on me, and it's very frustrating not to be able to help my client. And so when I figure out how to solve this problem, I will have another tool in my arsenal of problem solutions. So looking forward to that day. Anyway, thank you for the compliments, and thank you for being you. We only want to make everybody happy, and if that's not possible, I don't know what we're going to do.
You are probably, without a doubt, the most straight-shooting guy I've ever met in my life.
And okay, stop making me blush.
And I want people to understand that. So you don't find a Doug Jones on every corner of the street, especially in the insurance business, because that's the reason I called Doug, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma and sole proprietor.
Oh, you froze. He froze up. He was in the middle of all the complimentary statements.
I froze up. Oh, my gosh. I didn't want that to happen. But you just spent about 32
yeah,
and a
Zoom
half
minutes. Zoom is not our friend today.
Zoom is not Zooming today. It's crawling. And hopefully on the next time around, it'll do better. But anyway, thanks for joining us, everybody. We appreciate it. Go to Amazon.com. Get your book. Get several. It's coming into the holiday season. Wrap them up in, you know, little pink bows or little red bows or little green bows, whatever you want. Just get them out there and get them to your friends and relatives.
Thank you, Randy. I like the way you think. Bye-bye, everybody.